To glow in the dark.
Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark.
This is the Science Fiction Podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer, and reader, Mike Luoma. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. Find me online at glowinthedarkradio.com and mikeluoma.com. M-I-K-E-L-U-O-M-A. That's where you find me, too, on Facebook and Twitter after their.com/MikeLuoma. There's also a Glow in the Dark Radio Facebook page, which you find at facebook.com/glowinthedarkradio. And you can sign up for my mailing list on any of those pages. I actually did just send out a mailing list. I just sent out an email to my mailing list. Actually, two. Because I forgot to mention that I was going to be at Aresia in the first one. I'll mention more about that coming up in the news, but that's a big science fiction convention that's happening down in Boston next weekend. Martin Luther King Day weekend. Here on the podcast, I will be taking next week off, so we'll take a break and there'll be another podcast 2 weeks down the road. That's when we'll be getting to Chapter 5 of Alibi Jones. This week we've got Chapter 4 of Alibi Jones, the science fiction novel. Still in its early stages, good time to jump on board and get into the story. Story so far, Alibi Jones busted out of a Tektah jail. He's now blasting up off the planet Tektakarn in a ship. One of his two fellow escapees, Piccolo, got his hands on. Ship smells pretty bad inside. And that's hardest on their other escapee, the cat-like Dakur they call Kit. The three met in their cell, and now they're escaping together. And we're going to see if they can make a clean getaway. It's Chapter 4 of Alibi Jones coming up on Glow in the Dark Radio. In the news, as I mentioned, I'm going to be at Aresia next weekend. That's my big news. It's January 13th through the 16th. Aresia.org. At Westin Boston Waterfront Hotel. Saturday at 11:30, I'll be doing the Self-Publishing 101 kind of how-to panel. Become an authorpreneur. Then on Sunday at 10 a.m., an early one, I'll be talking about how to make a comic. And then Monday at 11:30... build a home podcast, audiobook, recording studio. So we'll be talking about how to set yourself up to record audio at home. So that's it. Three panels at Aresia next weekend. I hope to see you there. Again, that's at the Westin Boston Waterfront Hotel, January 13th through the 16th. I like being on panels. It's fun to talk about my work. And again, you can find all my work at glowinthedarkradio.com. Coming up next, I've got Chapter 4 of Alibi Jones on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Hi, this is Hugh, the host and editor of the Way of the Buffalo podcast. Twice a month, we present the best short fiction of all genres, thought-provoking interviews, and other diverse entertainments. You can find us online at wayofthebuffalopodcast.blogspot.com or search for us on iTunes. Some people say that short fiction is going the way of the buffalo. Come join us, won't you?
Now, here's Chapter 4 of Alibi Jones on Glow in the Dark Radio. All right, let's see. Alibi tries calling up sensor readings. Nothing on the sensors, if they're working. No one following us. Nice, Piccolo says.
I think I may vomit, Kit says.
He gets up out of his seat.
I will go check on the engines.
Hold on, Alibi says. Kit gives him a pained look. Sorry, man, but we've got to figure out where we're going first.
Anywhere away from here is fine with me, Kit says, turning away. You two figure it out, and tell me what you decide. I will be in the engine room.
He dashes out of the bridge.
Man, it does kind of stink. Smells worse than it used to, Piccolo admits once Kit is gone. Kronberg wasn't the most hygienic guy I've ever worked with. I don't think the refresher works on the ship.
I didn't think there was a refresher on this ship at all, Alibi comments. I mean, judging by the smell. So, he changes the subject. Where are we going? I'd like to follow the trail of my friend. The Tekta grabbed her back on Remelar.
No kidding, Remelar? That's where I lost her. My sister, I mean,
Piccolo tells him. No kidding, Alibi says. I had just finished a negotiation with two merchants on Remelar. Had some time before my flight back to Cat's Eye, so I decided to look up an old teacher of mine, Minerva Kay. She was my alien cultures professor back in high school on Cat's Eye. She really was into alien cultures and ended up moving out to Remelar to study the Flays and learn more about the Tekta and the Dakur. She's been working on a book on the Dakur and Dakur culture. She's the reason I know so much about them, he tells Piccolo. Alibi pauses, sad but still warmed by thoughts of his absent old teacher and friend. I meant to look her up when I got to Remelar, but the negotiations were too involved. I couldn't get away. She knew I was there for a meeting. We'd even gotten in touch beforehand. I finally had a chance to visit her when the negotiations concluded. There was no answer when I knocked on her apartment door. I knocked a few times, enough so that one of her neighbors came out to give me a hard time about the noise. She lives in a small apartment building in the Remelar Centropolis, in the human sector of the city. Has an old domo for a neighbor. One of the last of them, I guess. The domo actually came out to talk to me about knocking so much and so loud. The domo said he hadn't seen her around for a few days, if you can trust that.
A domo, huh? I thought they'd all died out,
Piccolo asks. Not all of them, not yet, Alibi says. This one was old but still alive. It went back into its apartment and left me alone after that. It's too bad the people there didn't leave it alone, Alibi says sadly. I tried Miss Kay's apartment door. It was open, so I went in. I was already worried that I was going to find her unconscious or worse, you know? Piccolo nods. Alibi continues, but I didn't find her at all. She wasn't in her apartment, but all her stuff, all her personal belongings were still there.
Her wanderer was still there.
So she really couldn't have gone far. It hadn't been used in a week or so. I figure that's how long she'd been missing. I asked around, but the aliens that Miss Kay was so fond of had nothing to say to me about her. I thought that a human among them would be different enough to stand out, but they didn't seem to have really noticed her. Alibi shakes his head. And they didn't seem to notice she was gone. Her domo neighbor bothered me. Seemed like he was hiding something. And the local Tekta merchant outpost was downright hostile. It was the first time a Tekta dressed me down for supposedly thinking I was special because I'm human. They do not like us. I was glad I had my Mediator Corps uniform on. It didn't hurt to look official, you know?
Guess that's why the cat thought you were military, Piccolo notes.
It didn't hurt at the consulate either. I ended up finding some folks who knew Miss Kay at the Solar Alliance consulate. They have informal gatherings there for the local humans on weekends, and she used to attend. A group of them helped me knock on doors and ask questions, and until it got ugly.
It got ugly? Piccolo asks, perking up. Now I'm interested.
Nice, Alibi says with a sneer. Yeah, it got ugly with that domo next door.
Really? Did it turn into a vampire, try to suck your blood?
Piccolo prods. They kind of just are vampires. They don't turn into them, Alibi corrects him. They drain your life energy, not your blood. When I first met Miss Kay's next-door neighbor, I felt myself getting tired. I don't think they can help it.
Oh, they don't care,
Piccolo points out.
So what happened?
I got together with the other humans at the consulate and found out there were others whose friends and loved ones had gone missing. When I told them my missing friend lived next to a domo, he became their prime suspect. They began accusing the domo of abducting all the missing people. He agreed to sit down for questions with me, insisted he had no closets or freezers in his apartment where he could keep so many missing people, invited me to search the place. But I was already feeling tired.
You're draining me right now, I yelled at him.
I am not feeding on you, he yelled back. I made the mistake of calling in backup. Four of the younger guys in the consulate group charged into the apartment to, rescue me. The domo was getting frantic as the guys arrived in his apartment. I remember him yelling, It happens! It just happens! I have no control over it! I don't even go out in public anymore! I try not to put myself in a position where I impose my needs on others. But you came into my home! And he was right, you know? Two of the guys helped me up and helped me leave. They helped me get out of the apartment and out into the building's corridor where I collapsed, drained. I told the other two to search the apartment. They did. Didn't find anything. I chalked it up to an unpleasant dead end. Creepy, sure, but not our kidnapper.
So what's so ugly about that?
Piccolo asks. Some of the others didn't move on, still suspecting the domo of wrongdoing. Later, They dragged the Domo out and killed him, running stakes through him on the altar of the local NCC church. I helped contribute to that. That's ugly. That's how their race dies now. One at a time. After that Eldred plague killed off most of them, one by one the survivors are killed.
I don't think that was your fault,
Piccolo tells him.
I mean, I can see where you might feel bad and all, but really, that wasn't your fault.
I agree. Not your fault. Kit chimes in over the comm.
Kit, didn't realize you were listening in.
I did not mean to eavesdrop. I was hoping to hear that you'd come up with a destination, Kit explains.
We're kind of taking the long way,
Piccolo cracks. Fine, Alibi says, trying to sound hurt. Long story short, someone else disappeared after the Domo was dead. A girl who I'd met a couple times at the consulate. A nobody, really, no one to miss her, except me. She had been abducted by a Tekta thug, a witness testified. The Tekta claimed they had no criminals among them in their trade enclave on Remelar. Maybe that was true. Maybe they don't consider kidnapping a human to be a crime.
But I do.
The Tekta always seem to act together. All the time. Tight-knit family. Most of the ones around here follow a local overlord. That means there's probably some organized plot to kidnap humans going on. But I have no idea why. I discovered that there was a Tekta ship leaving with another group of captives, and I followed them, stowed away on board their ship. Of course, my friend wasn't on board. She wasn't one of the people grabbed this time. She was long gone.
No? Piccolo asks. My sister was kidnapped pretty recently. She might have been one of the people on that ship. That's why I'm here. Kronborg was the only one willing to fly me out to Tektakarn. I couldn't afford a better ship.
Or a better smelling one, he says, wrinkling his nose.
I was asking questions at the bar in the port here, drinking with some other humans and asking about the Tekta. I'd lost track of her by then. So I was drinking, maybe got loud about it. Guess they got wind of my questioning and weren't too happy about it. A Tekta guard showed up, started giving me a hard time. I think he spiked my drinks.
Really?
Alibi asks, suspicion in his voice.
Well, yeah,
Piccolo replies on the defensive.
I can usually hold my liquor better than that, and I usually don't stay drunk for 2 days. I was out of it for way too long for it to have just been alcohol,
he protests. I thought that might just be your usual state, Alibi cracks.
You don't know me,
Piccolo says. He sulks.
Just because I was out of it when you met me. I mean, I just lost my sister, man.
Regretting he made fun of the man, Alibi mutters, sorry.
It's all right.
Are you two bonding or something?
Kit's voice comes purring over the ship's intercom. Just figuring out what we have in common, Alibi says. How's the engine room?
It is filthy, the dock corps says, disgust heavy in his voice. But it does not smell as bad as the bridge.
You know, you do kind of get used to it, Alibi notes, realizing his nose was no longer curling up in horror.
You might.
Kit disagrees.
I do not acclimate as you do. To me, it seems to be getting worse, not better.
After a pause, he continues.
But I heard what you said about a prisoner exchange between groups of Tekta. I think I know where they might be headed. Junzius.
Junzius? That's an old dead world, isn't it?
Piccolo says, when he hears Kit's answer. An old Eldred world, right? Alibi remembers. Why would the Tekta go there? Aren't they worried about a plague or old defense systems?
The Tekta are said to have cleansed Junzius and made it safe for habitation, Kit explains.
But it still has a reputation as a dead world. And so the Tekta use it as a place to conduct business
they want to keep out of the public eye. I overheard a Tekta communication that said one of their elite family freighters, a personal ship of the Overlord, left for Junzius just before you were thrown into my cell, Alibi. The timing makes sense.
So let's go to Junzius, Alibi exclaims. He looks for the star charts in the ship's systems. Junzius is listed as a dead Eldred world in the charts. No hint of Tekta habitation.
I do not know if this is a wise course of action, Kit cautions. They may have defenses. Certainly, we should not just transpace jump in on top of them.
I don't know that we have much choice, Kit, Alibi says as he studies the charts. There's only two transpace points mapped out on these charts. They're both pretty close to Junzius.
Why not map another point? Piccolo suggests.
That is a risky proposition, Kit says. You do not merely map points for transpace jumps. You need someone to have gone there before, to sight for obstacles, and physically calculate the transpace point.
I've done it before. Calculated and mapped a transpace point blind, Alibi says. Safe ship training with the project. We had to map potential jump points. Later, we jumped to one. Final exam.
Final? Indeed, Kit says with caution.
Depends on how thorough the charts of the system are, Alibi insists. Let me see what we've got for info here, and then I'll be able to figure out whether I can do this or not.
If you insist, Kit says.
The intercom kicks off.
I think you pissed the kitty cat off,
Piccolo jokes. Alibi doesn't respond. He focuses in on the charts and ignores Piccolo.
I can do this, Alibi suddenly says out loud to himself.
He looks through the ship's system files.
Looks like I've got the information. Just need some time to work the numbers.
That was Chapter 4 of Alibi Jones on Glow in the Dark Radio. Gruesome discovery, to be sure, and now Alibi is going to attempt to plot a manual transpace jump point in search of his missing teacher and Piccolo's sister who vanished. So we'll see how that blind jump goes, if Kit lets them take it, on our next episode of Glow in the Dark Radio, Chapter 5, coming up. And coming up next weekend, I'm going to be skipping a weekend on the podcast because I'm going to be down in Boston at Aresia. It's New England's largest and most diverse science fiction and fantasy convention. It's down at the Westin Boston Waterfront Hotel. You can find out more at aresia.org. I'm going to be doing a panel Saturday at 11:30 on self-publishing, Self-Pub 101. Sunday at 10 a.m. early, I've got How to Make a Comic. And then Monday at 11:30, I'll be talking about building a home podcast audiobook recording studio. So all that is coming up next weekend as part of Aresia down in Boston. Maybe I'll see you there. Again, more about the con at aresia.org. More about my stuff, and you can sign up for my mailing list at glowinthedarkradio.com, mikeluoma.com, that's mikeluoma.com. There's also our Facebook page, facebook.com/glowinthedarkradio, and my own pages on Facebook and Twitter after their .com/mikeluoma. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. And I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.